Featuring the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Well, from a very rambunctious Wrigley Field, folks are in a good mood out here. The Brewers get shut out for only the second time this season. They fall 5-0 to the Cubs. They lose the series 2-1. And some questions. A little bit of a pit in your stomach after that one. Brewers fall. Offense didn't do much. Freddie had a bad day. Bad time for it, obviously. Offense didn't do really anything at all aside from missed opportunities. But I look at this, as I said in the pregame show, you want to face the best teams at their best. And neither team's at their best yet, especially given all the injuries right now. But let me be blunt. Let me be really real with you right now. As of now, the Cubs ain't going to get worse. They didn't have Cody Bellinger. They didn't have Seiya Suzuki, Justin Steele, Jordan Wicks. Now, the other three starters pitched very, very well against the Brewers. Did not allow a run in 18 in the third innings of this series. That's the real difference maker for me in my eyes. Their bullpen will get rest. They will get better. They will make moves. They will call around for teams like the Marlins that are apparently going to be a farm system for the rest of baseball this year. They will get better. The Brewers obviously were missing Christian Yelich. They've been missing Garrett Mitchell all season long. They have questions about what they're going to do at third base. They have questions about what they're going to do in the outfield, the corner spots. But in 3 weeks' time, you're going to have another really big litmus test. What can the Brewers do in the next 3 weeks when Suzuki and Bellinger should be back by the time these two teams meet again? Are the Brewers going to be ready to compete? Steele will be back. We know that for sure. They got beat flat out. I think you tip your cap to Javier Assad. He kept them off balance all day long. And Freddie did not have his A game. 6 walks. Ain't going to cut it. It just ain't. He knows that. A wild pitch leading to a run. A pass ball from William. That was a weird day from him behind the plate. And the Brewers had an opportunity to deliver the first punch in this one. A one-out double by Contreras. Black grounded out. Adames grounded out. But it was a very nice play deep in the hole by Dansby Swanson. At least they put the ball in play twice. As we're looking at all of the opportunities with runners in scoring position, a two-out opportunity with Contreras, a man on second in the third, he ended up grounding out. So again, putting the ball in play. He had runners on first and second with two outs for Oliver Dunn. He grounded out to first base. Again, putting the ball in play. You had runners on first and second for Black. He struck out looking on a curveball, and that's the one that I tweeted about. With the pitch was definitely outside the K zone, was definitely outside of a strike that would have been called by the ABS. But that's not the reason the Brewers lost this game. I'll break that down a little bit later with Craig Kishon. But all but one of the opportunities they had with a runner in scoring position today, they put bat the ball. They didn't get the hits. They didn't elevate. And you would think if there's a team that's built to handle windy days where they're not able to score a lot of runs, it would be the Brewers that have so many stolen bases and ability to work counts and be a real pest in the side. I mean, aside from the eighth inning on Friday, the Brewers didn't steal another base the whole series. They didn't steal a base yesterday. Granted, they barely had any opportunity to. They didn't steal a base today. They never got a chance to. They were behind in the game or behind in counts, couldn't get the right guys up at the plate, right timing. The thing that they need to do to win games disappeared, and that's stealing bases. I'm not saying that's a flaw in Pat Murphy or anything like that, but that's just one of the keys. When they're not hitting home runs, generally they're stealing bases. And if they're not stealing bases, generally they're hitting home runs and extra base hits. In this series, neither really happened. I know Perkins hit a home run yesterday into the baskets that really got that rally, felt like it was for real, but the Brewers didn't hit a home run on Friday, they didn't hit a home run today. And coming into this weekend, the Brewers were the best team in baseball with record without hitting a home run. They went 1-1 this weekend. See how that keeps going, if that continues to be a trend moving forward. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the phone number. If you want to join us here on Brewers Extra Innings, we're only going to the top of the hour today. given there's not much to talk about, quite frankly. But a couple of texts here. This one from Doug. It's just going to be a two-team race, so have to take advantage of these Cubs series, and I can't wait to see Robert Gasser. They need the help. That one from Doug. Well, more on Robert Gasser in a little bit. He pitched today in AAA, and Pat Murphy wasn't shy about the fact that we could see him make his Major League debut this week. More on that later. This one from Josh in Milwaukee. A lot of bad breaks today and several missed opportunities. Curious about Summer Peralta's recent struggles with walks. He didn't issue any against the Rays, but he had 5 in his previous start against Pittsburgh and then 6 today. What are you seeing? Let's break that down coming up next. Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a little bit as well. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Talk pitching coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Talking a little pitching, talking what went wrong with Freddie Peralta today. Brewers lose 5-0 to the Cubs. 5 runs on 7 hits for Chicago, no errors. No runs on 5 hits for Milwaukee, also no errors. The winner is Javier Assad, the loser is Freddie Peralta. Looking at the numbers and looking at really deep underneath the box score here, getting between the lines on Freddie Peralta's day, it's easy to see the 6 walks, but there's got to be something to that. There's got to be something else when a pitcher allows 6 walks in a ballgame. What went wrong? For me, what I saw today was not just command, you know, in simple terms of saying, oh, he didn't throw strikes. Specifically with the breaking pitches. The Cubs were extremely disciplined against his breaking ball today. The slider and the curveball. He threw 27 breaking balls today. Only 13 of them were strikes, so less than half were strikes. Furthermore, they only chased one of each out of the zone. So they swung at 2 pitches on breaking balls out of the zone. Out of those 27. They swung at 2 of them out of the zone. That's not how Freddie Peralta is successful. He generally doesn't throw a lot of them for strikes. They're meant to be chase pitches when you're on the fastball. It also explains why the changeup was so effective today. He got 5 swings and misses on the changeup, as many as he did on the fastball. But in total, strikes obviously are an easy thing to say in practice, but the point for Freddie Peralta's success is when everything plays off of the fastball, those breaking balls are harder to lay off of outside of the zone. And he was behind the eight ball quickly in this one. Fell behind 3-1 on Tauchman. He walked him. He got Hap 0-2 early, and then he eventually got him to a full count. That was an indicator to me saying, okay, well, he just swung and missed at back-to-back changeups. So they're hunting the fastball, laying off the breaking stuff. He eventually struck out on a changeup. 3-1 on Christopher Morel. Walked him. And I want to say, on the Christopher Morel stuff, 3 walks to Morel. I know he's got a home run in 3 consecutive games. I know you got to be careful with him. But Michael Bush on deck, and lo and behold, Morel goes 1-for-1, a single in 3 walks. Bush gets a sombrero on Cinco de Mayo. But the thought for me is like, hey, you're an ace, Freddie. Go after Christopher Morel. And he was just always pitching around him today, in my eyes, as I welcome in Craig Kishon here. And Craig, I just look at 6 walks. They weren't like competitive walks all the time. There were a lot of pitch arounds in there and a lot of, I don't know, back foot pitching, if you will. Freddie just wasn't as aggressive as we're normally seeing from him.
Yeah, I agree. Tim and I were talking about that up here too. And I think the thing about that that bothers me, I didn't see it at first that way, but just, you know, when you start talking out loud about, you know, what he's doing and where he is in the game and who he's pitching to, I think the thing that bothers me a little bit about that, Dom, is he's the ace of the staff. He's the guy that's supposed to be the aggressor, supposed to go out there. And I understand, you know, pitching around guys is part of the game, but I think it just caught up with him in some regard that if you're going to do that for a batter or two, I think you run the risk of just not being accurate, not being as in control as you want to be, you know, to the next hitter and maybe the next hitter after that. So the walks as a whole for this staff are, to me, a lot. I mean, this is not a good trend, but today was just an anomaly, I hope, anyway, for Freddie Peralta.
It has to be. But again, the five walks in Pittsburgh two starts ago was alarming as well. I see this as, you know, you can maybe chalk this up to being a little too amped up to face the former club and all that fun stuff. But for Freddie to be an ace and be considered a true number one, starts like this just can't happen. And I understand he only allowed three runs, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, three runs in five innings isn't the end of the world. But when you dive into how those three runs scored, he had a 2-2 count with one out on Miguel Amaya, the nine-hitter, and he hit him. Those are things that aces don't do. And then the top of the order, Nico Hoerner, who's a heck of a hitter, made him pay. You cannot allow the nine-hitter with a two-strike count to get hit by a pitch. And the inning snowballed from there. That was the moment for me that this game was lost, hitting a nine-hitter with a two-strike count.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, up and down this this Cubs lineup, they either did just enough to get to him, or he did just enough and kind of made up his own game plan along the way here, and just for whatever reason didn't feel right about it. But, you know, I think the bottom line is, yes, the only three runs, I mean, this team's got to do something. And I kind of looked at this game here the way Freddie went, and then the lack of ability for Milwaukee batters here in this entire series to even plate a single run against Cubs starting pitching. You can't be trailing the whole time here. And it turned out to be that way. But I don't know. This one was kind of a double-edged sword, if you will, with just the Peralta lack of control. And you just didn't feel right about this game in any respect, that's for sure.
I agree. We'll break down the offense coming up next. The Brewers fall 5-0 to the Cubs. They lose the first series of the year against Chicago down at Wrigley. Breaking it down with Craig Kishon with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall 5-0 today. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is with us as well. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. If you want to join us, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings also brought to you in part by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trusting your family's comfort at home with Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And right now you can save up to $1,500 off Central Air Systems. Got a scheduled appointment by June 15th. Go to Cider, SEIDER.com to book today. Craig, the offense, obviously a donut in the scorebook, and they had opportunities early. I thought if they could have got Javier Assad off his rhythm early, they would have had a chance, including especially the one-out double by Contreras in the first to set a tone early. Would have been massive today, given they obviously have not scored a run against a Cubs starter this series, but it was not meant to be. They went 0-for with runners in scoring position, and all that unsustainable offense early in the year with runners in scoring position has certainly come back down to earth. They're still a good team with runners in scoring position, but going 0-for-7 is never really going to cut it.
No, 0-for-7 is not going to cut it for sure, and just not being able to put enough pressure on Assad here in this one. The Cubs defense was either really good today, and at times I think it was, and I also think at times there was, you know, a little bit bad luck along the way for Milwaukee's offense here in this one as well. But there just hasn't been a lot of pressure on the bases. I mean, really this whole series, and they were behind, you know, in every game too. So just the, you know, I mentioned this in the last segment, the inability to get a single run in what, almost 18 innings or 18 plus innings of Cubs starting pitching. That's an eye opener for where the offense is here right now. And they're still, I mean, we talked about this yesterday, Dom. They're still trying to, you know, fill some gaps, plug some holes, insert some of the young guys. Pat Murphy, you know, has been talking about that this whole series, maybe even more this series, because this is more the playoff-like series, because it's your rival, you know, a big division foe that you know. Here they are tied for first place going into the work week tomorrow, tied for first, and it's going to be a battle. It has been a battle, but now they're head-to-head, so you got to win some of these. You got to get some guys on base, and really it's all got to start tomorrow against Kansas City.
And Pat Murphy was very quick to point out how young his team is, and he's not doing this as an excuse. He's just hoping that this series is an opportunity for growth for them. And these last two weekends, with the Yankees fans coming to town last weekend, coming down here to Wrigley, have been really big opportunities for them to learn how to manage emotions, how to get yourself ready for the moment. Because going down the box score here with you, Craig, Frelick, barely a sophomore. Contreras, could be an all-star. Black, rookie for his first week in the show. Adames, veteran. Terang, a sophomore. Hoskins, a veteran. So that's three guys that I've said that are veterans out of nine. And then you've got Dunn, rookie, first month in the big leagues. Perkins, a sophomore. Churio, a rookie, his first month in the big leagues. Six out of the nine guys are getting their first real taste of playing every day. And here they are, 40,000 strong at Wrigley Field, and they put a zero on the board. It can't feel good, and you learn what you're made of real quick after games like this.
Yeah, and you got to go. I mean, look, when you're young, you got to go through an enormous laundry list of firsts. And they're getting some of those under their belt as from opening day, being on their first opening day roster, to their first at-bat, their first hit, all that stuff. Like Tyler Black starts out, you know, his first two plate appearances when he made his major league debut earlier this week, you know, were base hits, but he doesn't have an RBI yet. He doesn't have a home run yet, you know. He's been striking out a lot, looking. He's a guy that has a great eye, and that's all fine. But at the major league level, having a great eye doesn't mean jack squat, to be honest with you. You know, you got to hit the ball. You got to figure out a greater strike zone. All that stuff, just for him alone, because he's the newest Brewer here. But then you're right. You go down to Wrigley, man. It's a different world down there. Especially when you know it's your fiercest rivalry, and you two are going to probably battle this thing out as the year goes to see who's going to win the division and who's going to make the playoffs. So, you know, hopefully they did learn a lot. These games were, I mean, outside of today, I mean, the first two games were incredibly entertaining, and you take a split in those anytime. But today, just, you know, a little bit of a day where you look at Peralta and you're like, you know, what happened with him? And Brewers went up against a good pitcher today in Assad as well. But you got to figure out a way to get him on and move him over type of thing and create runs. And that certainly did not happen.
Yeah, and let me unpack Tyler Black with you here, though, too. And this is how I'll let you go. The automated ball strike system is in AAA right now. And I'm not making this as an excuse as the reason why the Brewers lost the game. I want to make that clear. One at-bat was not the reason. But I feel for Tyler in a way because Major League Baseball is testing out robot umpires in AAA. So you're learning how to win games in AAA using these robot umpires and learning the strike zone with the challenge system and in that regard. You come to the big leagues, and a pitch that you would have been able to challenge in AAA is now called a strike, and you ring them up strike three. I get the argument. It's like, oh, it's close enough. It's Little League, Dom. You got to swing at it when it's anything close. But at the same time, he's been developed the last month plus of like, no, I don't have to swing at that pitch anymore, and that could be the future of the game. I feel for him being caught in between because his game is having a good eye and being able to work pitches and not swing at pitchers' pitches. But at the same time, it's like, what does baseball want here? Do they want the guys to come up here and swing at pitchers they're not supposed to swing at, even though they're teaching them to take as many pitches as they can in AAA? It's a slippery slope, and I don't know if there's a question in there, but we might see an impact Tyler Black a little bit here in the big leagues.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, and you're exactly right in the point I was alluding to as well. And I'll just go through, you know, you're as good as your last game, right? Your last at-bat or whatever. But just in this game alone, his first at-bat, he hits one on the nose, you know, to first base for the out. His next at-bat, he singles to right. And his fifth at-bat, when we're getting a little closer to crunch time here, he gets called out looking. So, I mean, you get to the point of the game, too. Strike zone becomes a little more inconsistent. And those are the type of things that, by not his fault, are going to bite him early on. Again, it's another adjustment for a young kid to do different things than he's used to and how he grew up in this professional game at the big league level. Because I think even coming from college as well, just a couple of years ago, Dom, he's used to what he's seeing and how the game is called, but it's so much different when you have the live umpire back there and he's seeing what he's seeing here in the first week. He'll come around. I've got all the confidence in him. You can just tell that he cares so much. He's going to figure it out. But, you know, this first week, a lot of strikeouts, no doubt.
I agree. Welcome to the show, kid. There's a lot to figure out there. Craig Kishon joining us all weekend long. Appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll chat with you soon.
All right. Sounds good, Dom. Thanks.
All right, Craig Kishon on WTMJ. I got a couple of texts got to get in here and to respond to some of those coming up next. Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 if you want to join us on the program. I'm Dom Cutronio. This one from Brian and Tosa. You can say that it's game on with the Cubs now. My concern is the Cubs starting pitching is way better 1 through 5 than the Brewers 1 through 5. I always say good pitching will beat good offense more often than not. Now the Cubs are getting Steele back, so they may have the best starting pitching in the NL 1 month in. I agree. I agree with all of that. Like I said in the first segment, Brian, like with this was the time to beat them. They're not going to get worse between Steele and Wicks coming back, Seiya and Belly coming back. It's going to be hard to beat them down at the end of the month in 3 weeks' time. What are the Brewers going to do to counter that and be ready to go at their home ballpark? Ricky in Honey Creek, I'm not even going to read your text because you only text me when it's negative. Pick up the phone and call. I'll hear it if you want to put your name on it, but I'm not going to repeat what you texted. Just go ahead and call. Put your name on it. Let's go, man. So you can get what he's trying to say, but if you think that one series against the Cubs is going to decide the whole year, it's May. It's May 5th. Does it suck to lose to the Cubs? 100%. Absolutely. Nobody in that clubhouse is happy. They thought they had a chance to win the series today. They thought they had a chance to win the game yesterday, the way they came back in that one. Did they play well to do so? Absolutely not. They got flat-out beat. It doesn't mean they're bad. Come on, Ricky. You've watched enough baseball to know that. Give us a call, 855-616-1620. We are going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. That's up next. Got to take a quick break. Come back with more on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
5-0 loss. Never fun. Not a happy flight. On to Kansas City up next. But here's what the manager had to say after today's shutout loss. Here's Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think the thing that changed the inning the most was Cole Armstrong's, you know, infield hit and then his stolen base. That to me is what set it in motion. And then he's such a threat that, you know, we end up grazing the guy, and then we get in a good position. Horner comes up with a great hit. That kind of – but the credit goes, the Cubs starters were great. All three of them were great. They pitched well, and we, you know, we got those six young guys in there, you know, with less than a year of experience, and you got six young guys in there, and you got a pitcher like Assad or a pitcher like Teon yesterday. Those guys, you know, they got ahead and they pitched very well, and really, it's a good learning experience for our young guys. Really good, great environment to be in. Great learning experience. I saw a lot of good things. We did some really good things on the mound, but credit goes to their starting pitchers how well they did.
Assad's been, you look at last year, it's been really, really good, one of the best in the game. What did he do so well today?
Yeah, he's a pitcher, man. He's a pitcher, and he pitches above and below, and doesn't necessarily, he gets ahead, and then he pitches above and below, and for young hitters, it's tough. You feel like you're always behind in the count. He nibbles the right way. I liked him last year, and I knew he'd be effective for these guys this year, and Teon's been great too. So we ran into two, and the kid the first night was breaking ball was exceptional. So we ran into three guys that pitched very, very well, and offensively, you know, we didn't hit with runners in scoring position, and but like I said, a great experience for our guys. And when you have six guys in there that are basically rookies, you know, these things are going to happen. And but we'll learn from this.
What do you want them to take away from a series like this when, you know, it's hard to come back against bullpens, and you guys were almost able to pull it off yesterday, but sometimes it's just too big of a hole.
Well, that's the thing. You know, the difference between the series is we had the go-ahead run on second base with nobody out, and we didn't execute. So it's little things that makes a difference between good and great. So that's what a young team's going to learn, and we're going to have to go through this and learn it. Keep our energy and keep our focus the right way. And it's a great challenge. You know, you lose a series to the Cubs on the road. It's especially in this environment, it's no fun, but you learn from it.
They're starting pitching, like you said, this series was really good. Was there anything you would like to see different from your offense not scoring against them?
Of course. Yeah, of course. There's a lot of things you like to see different, but you can't speed up the maturation process. They sometimes have to go through it. You feel like everything's against you. You feel like you can't do anything right. You know, it's the momentum of the game, the emotions of the game, instead of the experience of some of the other guys can show. You know, you see the at-bats, William and Willie had some good ones. Hoskin had some good ones. And those guys, you know, conducted themselves differently. But then the starting pitchers knew, hey, I can pitch around these guys a little bit and pitch them a little tougher. The other guys got to be able to pick them up.
Got to be able to. It's the team. Every out matters, like we saw in yesterday's game. Every pitch matters. Every player matters. That's why you play 162 of them. Take a breather. Come back with more analysis after this on WTMJ. All right, I got a few minutes left for some lineup thoughts here as the Brewers fall 5-0. This team, as I've said in a while now, this team's missing Christian Yelich, and they're missing him bad. He's day-to-day. The Brewers feel he's close. He's doing aggressive base running. He's hitting in the cages right now. I think the next big hurdle is to hit him back-to-back days and see how the body responds because they need him bad. I think Tyler Black's going to be a really good player. I think it's unfair to spring him in the three spot and expect him to produce. I also think it's tough for Bryce Terang to continue to be in the five spot. Maybe he can be a leadoff hitter, but Sal's been doing okay there in the top of the spot lately. If you listen to today's Brewers warm-up, you heard Pat Murphy's thoughts about Sal Frelick in the leadoff spot, but this team needs to figure out the three-hole, man, because it makes the rest of the lineup so much deeper. When you got Sal in the leadoff spot, you go Sal, William, Yelly, Adamas, then you could squeeze a lefty in there. Maybe you want to put Bryce in there. Maybe you put Reese in there batting fifth. Bryce batting sixth. You can put Black maybe eighth. If you go back-to-back lefties there, Churio batting ninth. But then you got to decide, okay, is Reese going to be my first baseman? Is Black going to be my first baseman? And with Jake Bowers, I know a lot of Brewers fans feel how they feel about him at the plate. And trust me, he feels the same of how bad it's been right now. But he's your only reliable defensive first baseman right now. He's the only one. Tyler's learning the position on the fly. Reese, coming off of injury, it's not been super graceful so far from him, but he's working on it. Having Bowers as a break glass in case of emergency defensive replacement is what's going to keep him in this role. But remember, let's assess things when Yelly comes back a little bit deeper, and you would hope that by the time the Brewers see the Cubs again, Yelly we'll be back in that three spot. So see these guys again in 3 weeks. 3 weeks from tomorrow, Memorial Day. And that will be a rocking crowd at American Family Field. On to Kansas City, one of the best teams in the American League. It'll be a fun weekend. I've got you all set this week. Brewers Extra Innings after every single game right here on 620 WTMJ. I should say on Monday and Tuesday. My thanks to Craig Kishon and to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Signing off from Wrigley Field. Until next time. Keep on swinging.